We'll continue in prayer. Just briefly, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that the things of Thyself and the things of Thy Word, Lord, may become great realities to us. We are especially mindful, we particularly pray, Lord, for those who have not believed upon Thy name, and believed on Thy Son, Jesus Christ, and do not believe, Lord, the things of the Gospel, and all the great truths of the Gospel. Do not believe, Heavenly Father, perhaps, that Christ made the worlds. Do not believe, Father, He's coming again. Do not believe in a judgment to come and an eternal destiny, either of hell or of heaven. Father, we pray that the Spirit may be here, the Spirit might come, and Father, He might make these things great realities to each and every one of us. Have mercy upon us, therefore, we pray. We ask it in His name and for His sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, dear friends, as you'll be very much aware, we are rapidly approaching that time in the year, that season, when we remember the birth, the incarnation of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Not going to be preaching on that this morning, God willing, perhaps. I'll be preaching that a few times over this Christmas period, over this Christmas season. But it does remind me, and also with a number of other birthdays taking place at the moment, it does remind me that there are two birthdays that are explicitly mentioned in our Bibles, in the Old Testament and in the New. The first is one of the kings of Egypt, Pharaoh, which is recording in Genesis chapter 40 and verses 20 to 23. And the second is Herod Antipas, I think, in Matthew chapter 14 and verses 6 to 12. And the parallel passage to that is Mark chapter 6 and verses 21 to 29. Well, what we're going to do this morning is that we're going to consider the first of these two biblical birthdays. So beginning with Pharaoh's in Genesis chapter 40, and verses 20 to 23. So that's my text this morning. Genesis 40, 20 to 23. The prophet Moses, the Spirit of God, writing as follows to us, and recording this birthday of Pharaoh. As it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants, and restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot all about him. So this morning we're going to be looking at this text in our Bibles, in the Old Testament part of them, Genesis chapter 40 and verses 20 to 23, where the main person that the prophet Moses is writing about here for his people then, and indeed for everybody, even until the end of time, we're going to hear about these things and read about these things. He's writing here about this figure, this Old Testament figure of Pharaoh. There's one Pharaoh mentioned before this particular one in the book of Genesis, and there are a number that are mentioned afterwards. But this is one particular Pharaoh who lived in the days of Joseph. So he's mentioned there in verses 20 and 21. It came to pass in the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast to all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. Chief butler once again gave the cup of wine into Pharaoh's hand. A very responsible position in those days. You probably know from the book of Nehemiah. They weren't only a butler in the sense of checking the wine and giving the wine to the king. Very often they acted as their close and personal counsellor. So it's a very responsible position that this chief butler had to Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh means, whenever you read the name or the designation, the appellation Pharaoh in the scriptures, the name means son. It means son, S-U-N. And here this Pharaoh was, of course, one of the kings of Egypt. As I say, there's one king mentioned in the Bible that came before and then preceded him, and a number of others after him. But the thing that distinguishes this one from the others is that he lived in the days of Joseph, one of the sons of the patriarch Jacob, or Israel. And this Pharaoh lived around about 1725 BC, all those years before the birth of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And the first reference to him is in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 36. Remember that the Midianites, remember Joseph's brothers sold Joseph into the hand of the Midianites, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt, sold Joseph into Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of this Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. So that's the first reference to him, and then you have many references to this particular Pharaoh all the way almost to the end of the book of Genesis, chapter 50 and verse 7. And Joseph went up to bury his father, to bury Jacob in the land of Canaan. And with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his house, and all the elders of the land of Egypt. So this particular Pharaoh has a big part to play in the book of Genesis, and especially in the life of Joseph. He was very sympathetic towards Joseph, very sympathetic. He became very sympathetic towards his people until after his death. Pharaoh rose up who knew not Joseph and began to persecute Joseph's people, the Hebrews, the children of Israel. But we're thinking about this Pharaoh this morning. Or rather, I don't really want us to concentrate too much, or I don't want to apply it to this king. I want us to think this morning about another king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Pharaoh means son, but I want us to think about the one who is called the Son of Righteousness, the one who rises with healing in his wings. I'm not saying that this Pharaoh is a type of God. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that this Pharaoh was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he may well remind us of this far greater king, this far more righteous king, this great king, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. So I want to apply the things I'm going to say to Pharaoh, to him, to the Son of Righteousness, to the King of Kings, and to the Lord of Lords. And I hope that you'll agree that there is that this man here may remind us, in the light of Scripture, of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Well, what are we told here? What does Moses here, and what does the Spirit tell us about this particular Pharaoh? Well, he tells us about four things that this man did on his birthday. Say the time coming when we remember the birthday of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have our birthdays once a year, the time when we came into this world. And it's interesting to notice that birthdays were marked and birthdays were celebrated as far back as the days of the Egyptians and in the days of the Persians and in the days of the Romans. Birthdays when people came into this world were marked because it was a notable day. It was a special day indeed to them and to us. And here we have four things then that this Pharaoh did on his birthday. So this was the third day. This was his birthday. But notice what it was here to the chief butler and to the chief baker. Because this was the third day from the time that the dreams of the chief butler and the chief baker were told to Joseph in the prison, in the ward where they were and where Joseph was, and the interpretation of them given to them by him. Now, this was the third day from that time and the birthday of Pharaoh. It was either the day in which a son of his was born, according to one of the commentators, or in which he himself was born. But the latter of those two possibilities is more likely, is more probable, since the first can't properly be called Pharaoh's birthday. And this also might either be the day of his natural birth or of his political birth, the time of his accession to the throne, which was observed with feasting and rejoicing. But it's most likely this was Pharaoh's natural birthday, which was observed among the Egyptians, as birthdays were among the Persians, as Herod's was at his court in the days of Christ, and as it is usual in our times and in most countries. So we're told here these four things that he did on this third day, which was his birthday. Third day after these two men, the chief baker and the chief butler, had their dreams in the prison. You remember that they had been arrested. For some reason, they'd offended the king, and he threw them into the prison. Pharaoh was wroth with them. And there in the prison, Joseph was there in the prison, the same prison that Joseph was in, and they have these two dreams, each according to the interpretation of his dream. God was showing them what was going to happen to them in the future in 3 days' time. And Joseph, being a man of God, it wasn't just to Daniel that God gave the gift of interpreting dreams. He also did to Joseph, and God revealed to Joseph the meaning of these two men's dreams, that the chief butler was going to be restored to his office after the 3 days, but the chief baker was not. He was going to be punished. He was going to be found guilty, and he was going to be sent down. He was going to be punished. So what you notice here, my dear friends, is this. This was Pharaoh's birthday. But for these two men, it was judgment day, wasn't it? It was a day of judgment for them, a day of decision, when they were going to know what was going to happen to them in this life. If they were going to be pardoned, if they were going to be forgiven, if they were going to be restored to their office, or if they were going to be punished. And my dear friend, I hope you can clearly see where I'm going here this morning in relation to the Son of Righteousness, in relation to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What you and I need to remember always, and you particularly, my dear friend, if you're not a Christian here this morning, you need to remember, you need to realise, you need to wake up to the fact that a day is coming when you and I are going to be judged, when everybody's going to be judged. There is going to be a judgment day. Sometimes there are kind of little judgment days for us in this life, but it's nothing to be compared with the judgment day which is going to come at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we pass into eternity, truly, it's appointed unto men once to die, but then this judgment. The world began with creation. The world is going to end with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and with this great judgment day. So please, my dear friend, realize that what we have here in relation to Pharaoh and these four things that he did on his birthday can point, as it were, to the day which is to come, the great day of judgment, that great day of the revelation of the righteous indignation, the wrath of God, and also his mercy towards his people. Dear friend, don't forget, there's a judgment coming, and you're going to be judged, every single one of us. You are now sitting here. One day you'll be before him, you'll be before Christ. He's the one who will judge. You'll be before his feet. You'll be before his throne. Give an account of what you've done in the body, whether good or bad. What are the four things that Pharaoh did on this day? Well, we're told, first of all, that he made a feast, about this feast for all of his servants. And then we're told that at this feast he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants. Thirdly, that one was restored to what he was doing before. And that fourthly, one was not. One was punished for his crime. And the commentators think that possibly his crime was that he plotted. There was a plot to poison the king. And therefore you can appreciate why it was that they arrested the chief baker and the chief butler, who provided his meals and provided him with drink. So the first thing here, we're told here about Pharaoh making a feast for all of his servants. That is, for all of his ministers of state, all of his officers, all of his courtiers that were in his court, there in the palace in Egypt, all of his servants throughout the whole of his palace. Nobody would have been excluded. Everybody would have been included. They were all invited to this feast, and they all came together. It wouldn't include absolutely everybody throughout all of Egypt. We know that the palace wouldn't have contained even a great palace like Pharaoh's and his great banqueting hall. But everybody that was in that palace came to the feast. They were either serving there or they were invited to this place. It's not the only time that we read in Scripture about feasts being made for servants. Think of somebody like Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 15. He made a feast for all of his servants, an occasion when God appeared to him at the beginning of his reign. We read there, "And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings." And Solomon, like Pharaoh here, he made a feast to all of his servants, to all of his officers, and to all of his courtiers. It was the kind of thing that kings did, the kind of things that kings and queens and politicians, they do today. They invite people to these banquets, to these ceremonies, and they invite each one. And of course, if you know the book of Esther, also in the Old Testament, and the king there, Ahasuerus, he was always throwing great feasts to all of his servants. And in Esther 1 verse 3, we read, "In the third year of his reign," Ahasuerus' reign, "he made a feast to all his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces being before him." So very often when these kings are supposed to seek to show their generosity, to seek to show their power, and their great wealth and their dominion and so on, their riches, when they threw something like this, everybody was invited. You know, these places, the palaces were filled, or the banqueting halls were filled with people. And my dear friends, what this reminds us of is this, surely, that in this great day that is coming, all of the Son of God's servants are going to be there. All of the king's servants are going to be there. And that includes the angels of God. They are going to be there. And we know that in the day of judgment, when the sentences are passed, they are going to be used to execute the judgment upon certain people. We know that they're going to go to those who do not believe, and they're going to take hold upon them, and they're going to cast them into the lake of unquenchable fire. So the angels are going to be there. The good angels are going to be there. The angels who never fell. The angels that never fell into transgression with the devil and all of his fallen angels. But most importantly, my dear friend, is this. This is an occasion that you can't get out of. We know that sometimes invitations are given. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke parables to this end. Kings giving invitations and people giving their excuses and never turning up. But my dear friend, this is an occasion which there's a sense in which you're invited to, which, my dear friends, is inevitable. It's inexorable. You are going to be there because everybody is going to be there. Nobody is going to be missing. All are going to come before Christ. All are going to come before his judgment seat. And that, my dear friend, in a sense is an awesome thing, isn't it, to think about that. That is where your life is heading. That is where my life is heading. In the providence and the plan of God, our paths are converging upon this point. Either when we die or when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, we are all of us going to meet before one common judgment seat. The judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are going to be there. And I'm going to be there too. We shall all be arraigned before that great, before what John in the book of Revelation calls the great white throne. So we're told first of all that Pharaoh here made a feast for all of his servants and everybody. One day is going to come before God, come before his Christ, and are going to be judged for those things that they've done in life, in their lives. The second thing we're told about this feast that Pharaoh threw for all of his servants is this. He used it, as kings did, as monarchs did in those days, as an opportunity, and here, to lift up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants. So he lifted up amongst his ministers, his officers of state, his courtiers, and all of his palace. He lifted them up. In what sense did he lift them up? Well, in the sense that, first of all, he must have called for them. He didn't actually do these things. He didn't make the feast. And he didn't actually go and fetch them himself. He sent his servants to the prison where they were and where Joseph was. He, first of all, lifted up their heads out of prison, didn't he? And then he brought them before him into this great hall. And he lifted them up in the sense of them both, that they might both be tried. This lifting up of them both may only signify, it might just signify the trial of them when they were set on high to be seen by the judge and all the court. In other words, everybody was there. But it was only these two that were going to be judged. The focus was going to be on them. And these two were going to be so different. In fact, we could say, my dear friends, these two, just like the two thieves that were crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ, were going to be representative, you could say, of the whole of humanity. So they were lifted up in that sense. Like Joseph shortly was going to be lifted out of the prison, these men were lifted out. These men were set on high. These men were placed before Pharaoh in order that they might be tried, in order they might be judged and sentenced. The same phrase is used in 1 Kings 21 and verse 9 about that evil and wicked king Jezebel, writing in the letters saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high. Naboth hadn't done anything wrong. Naboth was an innocent man. Jezebel was setting him up for a fall because her husband wanted his land. And so she writes letters and lies against this man. And Naboth is set on high among the people. He is, as it were, put forward. Perhaps he was literally put on a stage or something before everybody in order that he might be tried. Just think of that. The focus on Naboth. The focus on these two men. And my dear friends, just imagine this. One day, the focus. And the focus of a holy God, of a thrice holy God, and the focus of the holy angels are going to be placed on you, placed on me, because one day, my dear friends, we are going to be lifted up. We're going to be lifted up before God to this judgment seat. And we're also going to be lifted up in the sense that we're going to be judged by the living God, by the eternal, the almighty, the just, the holy, but also the merciful and the loving God. The spotlight is going to be placed upon you. And the sentence would already have been passed. But it's where the final sentence then would be passed as to your final destiny. God will know. God sees. He sees not only the outward appearance, he sees your heart. And he will know your state and your condition. They already know what your eternal destiny is going to be, but then it will be declared. Then it will be proclaimed. So, my dear friends, think on these things. Don't forget about these things. Remember them. Realize a judgment is coming. And you are going to be there. And you're going to be lifted up for your trial in that day. Well, what happened to these two men? Well, my dear friends, first of all, we read here about the restoring of the chief butler to his butlership again. Pharaoh restored him. This was either a demonstration of Pharaoh's mercy, or when this man was tried and tested and examined, or somebody perhaps spoke for him, defended him, perhaps he was found not to be guilty. He wasn't part of the conspiracy. He wasn't part of the plot. And so therefore, Pharaoh restored him. He restored him to his means. He returned him, or he restored him to his former condition and office that he was in before. And therefore, he continued to minister to Pharaoh in his office that very same day. And that according to his dream. And the interpretation of the dream by Joseph. And again, possibly because Pharaoh found he was not in that council in which he was consulted to poison Pharaoh. So this man was spared. Say, my dear friends, this is something that God knew. God revealed to Joseph. Joseph prophesied, predicted to this man 3 days before. He said to him in Genesis 40, verse 13, within 3 days shall Pharaoh, he's going to lift up your head. Because God had planned all these things. And he's going to restore you to your place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the full manner when thou wast his butler. And he says later on to Pharaoh, when he eventually remembers Joseph, he says to him, and it came to pass, as Joseph interpreted to us, to me and to the baker, so it was. Me he restored to mine office, and him he hanged. So, these things had a good end as far as this man was concerned. Either Pharaoh had mercy upon him, showed him grace to display these things, these attributes of the king, to all of his courtiers there, or this man was found not to be guilty upon examination, and therefore he was spared. Therefore, he was not guilty. He not only went free, he was restored to his former office. Now, my dear friend, what I want to ask you this morning is this, is a very important thing. My dear friend, I want to know what's going to happen to you in this great day of judgment. Because what's going to happen to you then isn't really going to be settled then. The proclamation of it's going to happen then. The declaration of what's going to happen to you throughout all eternity is going to take place then. But the settling of it will be in this life, before you die, and before the Lord Jesus Christ comes. In that day, are you going to be declared to be not guilty? In that day, are you going to begin serving the King and worshipping him throughout all eternity? Is that going to happen to you? Are you not going to come under condemnation? Eternal condemnation? Are you not going to experience the wrath of God throughout all eternity? Are you going to be spared in that day? Well, if you are, my dear friend, it's not going to be because you're innocent. You were innocent in this life, or not guilty. Because none of us are. We come into this world guilty sinners. We continue as guilty sinners. So you need to ask, how can God spare me in that day? How can he forgive me in time? Pardon me in time? How can he, well, by his showing mercy towards you. But on what basis does he show mercy towards you? My dear friends, because he's not spared, he didn't spare his own son. And that is the only way that you'll be spared in that day. And be saved now. Not because of yourself. Not because of who you are. Not because of what you've done. But because of what God has done. What God has done through his son Jesus Christ. In sending him into this world, which is what we remember this time of year, Christ, the Son of God, come into this world incarnate. And why did he come? To seek and to save that which was lost. How did he save us? By his life, his active life. By providing righteousness, a perfect righteousness for us. And his death upon the cross, where God didn't spare him for our sin, but punished him in our place. So if we believe in him, we trust in him, trust in this perfect work of his, we might be spared we might be forgiven. My dear friend, do you know that now? You can know that now. This is the gospel. This is the good news. You can know that you don't have to be afraid of death, frightened of dying. You can know that you're going to escape the penalty of the law in the day of judgment. You can know that you're going to be spared eternal ruin and wrath, the wrath of God. You can know you're going to go to glory now by believing in God's Son, by God giving you that gift of faith, by having the assurance of this salvation. Do you have it? Do you have this precious gift? Do you have this precious salvation? Do you know you're going to be spared in that day if you've not got this? My dear friend, you must seek it with all your heart. You must ask God for it with all your voice, with all your heart. You must knock on the door of God's mercy and the door of God's heaven, as it were, until he opens it and until you know that you're accepted by him for Christ's sake and justified in his sight. Well, this man was restored. Do you know now that you've been restored in a right relationship with God, and therefore you don't need to fear death or the judgment which is to come? That's the message of this great and glorious, all glorious gospel of God's grace. But my dear friends, we see in the other man the other half of humanity, don't we? Also represented by the other thief that was crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as far as the other man was concerned, Pharaoh didn't spare him. Pharaoh didn't show mercy towards him. Or he was found to be guilty. And therefore he was hanged. It means that he was hanged up or suspended. He was hung upon a stake or cross. May even been crucified. Which is a type of punishment which was common to the Hebrews, to the Egyptians, and also to the Persians, and later to the Romans. This man suffered a terrible death, didn't he? One reason or another. Pharaoh perhaps showing towards him his justice, his righteousness. In this way, his acting according to law. Indeed, because this man perhaps was guilty, he was put to death. And again, as Joseph had prophesied, he had told him in 3 days. The other interpretation of the dream had given the other man hope. But this interpretation of this man believed it must have filled him with despair. We can only trust that he sought God for mercy, knowing that this was going to be his fate in time and upon earth. Joseph told him, 3 days Pharaoh shall lift up your head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And the chief butler says the same later, doesn't he, in Genesis 41:13, to Pharaoh. Joseph interpreted the things to us, so it was. I was restored, and the baker was hanged. My dear friends, what a horrible death to die. Do you think about that poor lady recently who took her life as a result of that silly prank that some people played on her and upon others, that she hanged herself, and this man was hanged. Terrible way, horrible way to die. Many terrible ways to die, and this is one of them. But what I'm interested in, my dear friends, is this. In that day of judgment, if you have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you've not believed this gospel, God doesn't show mercy to you in time, he's not going to show mercy then. There's going to be no second chances, no mercy in eternity. No mercy from that throne. It's going to be a judgment throne. He's going to execute his law. And if you're not a true believer in Christ, if you've not been saved, God is going to punish you. And he's going to punish you forever. Everlasting destruction from the presence of God. And if you think hanging is bad or drowning is bad, think of what that'll be like to be cast from the presence of God, even from his common mercies, and to be cast into that pit, into that place of darkness, that place of damnation forever and forever. And it will happen unless you repent of your sins and turn to God and turn to his Son, Jesus Christ, for the salvation of your soul. May this man, may the other man give you hope. May this man give you all due warning of this time to come and what is going to happen. This is why these things are here, no doubt. Not these men, certainly, the two thieves at the cross. They are representative of all humanity. Some will be saved, some are saved, some not. Those who believe are, those who don't are not saved. I wonder where you come in relation to the two thieves and also to these two men here. So Pharaoh made a feast to all his servants as we close, lifting up the head of the chief butler, the chief baker among his servants, restoring the one and hanging the other. And these things remind us, remind you and me, of the judgment day which is to come and what's going to happen. Some of the things that are going to happen in that great day. Don't forget these things. We read at the end of this passage that the butler forgot Joseph. He didn't remember him. But please, don't you today or in the future forget these things. Remember them. Lest one day, perhaps when you least expect it, your life is taken away, you end up into eternity, and then you realise the things that the preacher said that Sunday morning were true and are taking place. It's too late for you because you never repented, you never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you would experience that punishment forever instead of the grace and the mercy of God.